Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And podcasts are available under the Public Affairs tab. Today is September 30th, 2020. The markets were up today with the Dow closing at 27,781. Up from last week's 26,763. The NASDAQ was up at 11,167, up from last week's 10,632. And the S&P was up to 3,363, up from last week's 3,236. Tonight, we are talking about year-end financial planning opportunities. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can give your question to Lori, and she will write it down and bring it into the studio. And the questions are my favorite part of the show, and I hope they are yours too. Generally, if you have a question, chances are somebody else does as well. If you're not comfortable doing your question on air, you can certainly send it through email at yourfinancialchoices.com. So I'm very excited to kick off October Financial Planning Month and Estate Planning Awareness Month a day early. So I know that it's September 30th, but, you know, two of my favorite topics, both in October Financial Planning Month and Estate Planning Awareness. So starting tonight, I'm just going to highlight year-end financial planning opportunities, some things to kind of get the juices flowing, get you thinking about them. And I had already had this plan before I had decided to do the October series of planning topics, but I still think it'll fit in very nicely with this. And my October topics are going to be on October 7th, what is financial planning and what is a financial advisor? And I know I talked about that, fairly recently, but it never hurts to go back and visit some of these items, especially for people who may have missed those shows. Again, podcasts of prior shows are available at wdiy.org or yourfinancialchoices.com. But you know, sometimes we get new questions as well from our listeners, which makes it, you know, that much more exciting. So that's October 7th. What is financial planning? What is a financial advisor? October 14th, we're going to talk about retirement planning and planning for longevity as part of your financial plan. I think that's important to add that little element. So we'll see what we come up with on that. Retirement planning and planning for longevity as part of your financial plan, October 14th. October 21st, removing the fear from moving forward with your estate planning. And with a special emphasis on digital assets, with my guest, attorney Eric Strauss from Wirth, McGee and Fisher. Eric has a great resume and I'm very excited to have him. And that will be October 21st. So we'll talk a little bit about estate planning. What is your fear? What is keeping you from doing it? But also raise some awareness around digital assets, which, you know, everyone needs to know in this day and age. October 28th, I wanted to kind of open that up for our listeners in particular for special circumstances in financial planning. What are yours? And what I hope is throughout the month that our listeners will share with me what their special circumstances are, and you can do that confidentially, like through the website, Your Financial Choices, if you have something you'd like me to cover, some issue you had, some special circumstance that we may not hear about all the time. I'd like to highlight those and address those. And of course, we can keep that all confidential. I won't share your personal information. And so I really look forward to these shows in October. I'm very excited about it. And here's why I'm excited. I feel personally, and have felt it from clients as well, that we all seem to be waiting. I think I might have mentioned this in a prior show as well. I just feel this constant is this waiting. We're waiting for a change in the COVID. We're waiting for changes with the vaccine, with the reopening of businesses, with the statistics, with the next election, with the market. And you kind of become either in denial or complacent or just, you know, don't have the energy to spend on kind of engaging. So we kind of have fallen into this bit of waiting. So I thought, let's stop waiting. Let's get excited about what we can control. I'm all about control. So I like to control things. So let's get excited about what we can control and our reaction to what goes on around us and how we take care of ourselves. And the events of the past several months should have us convinced that waiting does not work. Action does. And let's get to it. So tonight's topic, your year-end financial review and opportunities. Let me start with, if nothing changed in your life, you're still working, you didn't have any changes in your job, your cash flow, your taxes, investments, everything is kind of the same, you didn't make any changes in your investments, your cash flow didn't, you know, you weren't hurt by anything, still working. One thing that really probably gets the least amount of attention is estate planning. So what I'm suggesting tonight as just a quick thing for year-end financial review and opportunities, and because we don't have time to, you know, go out and go to sporting events like we used to, we should have a little bit more time in our schedule, even if we are working, to review our estate planning. And I want to give you a couple tips that can, you know, be done pretty quickly. Number one, check if you have documents. And if you know you don't have documents, check that box. You've already checked. That's something done. You engaged. You checked if you had documents. You don't have any. If you have them, pull them out. Review them. Look for the big information in it, like a will. You're going to look, make sure it's your will. And who did you say is going to get your stuff when something happens to you? And who's going to be in charge of that when you're gone? So that's your executors. Review that. When are they dated? And as I said, not just who is your executor, but who are your beneficiaries? And does that seem in order? For example, you pull it out and it's dated 2006. That was 14 years ago. And your 12-year-old back in 2006 is now, what did I say, how many years ago? 14 years ago is now 26. So your life has changed. Your beneficiaries have changed. You might have had, you know, Uncle Carl as the executor, and maybe your 26-year-old is a high-powered executive at a company and very capable and got straight A's in school and could do a great job, and they could be your executor now if something happens to you. Maybe you don't have kids. Maybe you have you're single and you named your sibling as an executor or a personal representative, and you've been on the outs with them for 5 years, haven't talked to, you know, Bob for 5 years. Bob moved away. You guys got grumpy with each other. Don't want to talk to Bob anymore. Bob's still your executor. Maybe you want to change that or update that. Or maybe Bob wasn't in your life and now is. So that's pretty easy to do. You pull them out, you review them. When are they dated? Who's the personal representative? Who's the beneficiary? How old are they now? Does that still make sense? Is anything even going to go through your will? What does it seem in order? So kind of, you know, make a little notes on that. Second thing, it's not just your will. It's also your beneficiary designations on your accounts. And we're going to want you to review those as well. And I'll tell you the rest of it when we come back from our first break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we can take your questions live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable doing. And we will be back in just a moment.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Baldridge Asset Management, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm providing personalized portfolio management and financial guidance. Baldridge Asset Management, simplifying your financial life. For information, 610-336-4395 or baldridgeasset.com.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. We are talking about year-end financial planning opportunities, year-end financial review. We're starting with some quick things just to kind of get you in the mood for it. And this is in particular for people who really, have been steady as you go. You still working, still no problems with cash flow, that type of thing. Let's do a little bit of estate planning maybe before year end. And so we talked about pulling out your documents, looking at those. We also want you to look at your primary and contingent or secondary beneficiaries on all your accounts and insurances. You might be married and have three kids and you still have mom and dad as your beneficiary on your life insurance policy because that's what you did when you started working 20 years ago. If you are an individual, you might have an ex-spouse that you named that could need updating. Maybe you are now charitably inclined and want to name a charity as a beneficiary on some of your accounts. So you want to look at that for primary and contingent beneficiaries on your accounts and your insurances. Now, if you do that little lesson now, that little exercise, keep your notes and put that all together because with attorney Eric Strauss coming on October 21st, I will discuss more about estate planning then, and it would be handy maybe to have that information to review or to reference. I will mention that Lori just came in and had mentioned to me that WDIY will be starting their pledge drive, I believe, the week of the 12th or something. And we may not be able to take calls. So if you have questions as you're going through this, just shoot them to me through the email at yourfinancialchoices.com, and I'll make sure that we answer them during that show because the pledge drive, the membership drive, might go through 2 weeks. So we want to kind of be flexible on whether or not we'll be able to take calls or not. So that using the website with the Your Financial Choices works great for questions. Okay, so that's kind of the estate planning in a nutshell because we are going to be covering that more in more depth on October 21st with Eric. And he's a great guy. He's a teacher. That's how I met him. He was teaching a class on estate administration, I believe. And I was very impressed with him. And that was a very long time ago. Great guy. So now let's talk about some items for you to review now. And this is in my mind to give you kind of a runway for planning. Remember that I say at the end of every show, be proactive, not reactive. And when you're in front of your decisions, you have more options than you do on the other side of those decisions. If you, you know, decide to do something and it's like, whoops, that might have been a mistake, you know, we might not be able to help fix things as much. Where as if you kind of explore all your options in front of the decision, you definitely will have more options. So if we move on to taxes. Now, yeah, I am a CPA, which is why I, you know, do a lot of planning around taxes. And that's because there's a lot of planning to be done. I just was talking with a client today that his elderly mother had an IRA, and we've been converting IRA money to Roth over the past several years because she's in a very low tax bracket. And that is not costing a lot of income tax for her to convert. She wants to leave a legacy to her children, and a great asset to do that with is a Roth IRA. So we've been able to convert at almost little or no cost in taxes because her income, we're being very, very careful with how much we're converting. And we're going to be able to pass on an asset to the children income tax free in that Roth IRA. And, you know, I gave them as an example on, you know, $25,000, just $25,000 could be up to like a $6,000 income tax savings to them in their future. And that doesn't factor, you know, future appreciation on that or future conversions, because we still have more to do. It's not a big account, but it's something. And that is a sizable amount of income tax savings doing a conversion that way. All right. So that's my example of taxes and why we have so many year-end financial planning opportunities related to taxes. So big picture, let's start with younger filers. When we talk about tax planning, what tax bracket are you in? And these are important things to know, things they don't teach you in school. They probably don't teach them to you in college either, unless you're a financial planning major like my son. And so in understanding what tax bracket you are in will help you make better decisions for your future, if not your present, in how you might be saving money. And it's very hard to convince young people to save for their retirement, which could be 40 years into the future. But what is really important for young people to understand is getting into the discipline of saving in a smart way is always good, you know, lessons to learn. So saving in a retirement plan, the reason that is attractive is it could save you income tax, but it could also give you an employer match if an employer is going to match any contributions you make to an employer plan. It's important to get those matches. It's free money. We can't emphasize how important that is. So when we have an opportunity to put money into a retirement account at work, we want to know what tax bracket we're in, because we need to make a decision about, do we do those contributions on a pre-tax basis or a post-tax as a Roth? And what we call, when we it's offered through our employer plans at work, a Roth, we call that a designated Roth. If we're in a high tax bracket, we might lean more toward the pre-tax version, the regular 401k. If we're in a very low tax bracket, maybe we're just starting our job, we might want to do the designated Roth because maybe we don't need that income tax deduction. That's why it's important to kind of get comfortable with understanding some of these concepts early on, because the earlier you try to understand them and act on them, the more successful you could be in your future, you know, options. Because it might not just be in your retirement that this could help you. It could be, you know, eventually if you need to borrow from the retirement account, not something I normally suggest, but it could be an option for you. That's why it's good to save. It could be provide, you know, money for a loan for a down payment on a house. If you leave employment and you ended up having a designated Roth as part of your 401k, you can roll that over to a Roth IRA and then tap those original contributions at any time if needed. So it's not always about just saving for, you know, 50 years down the road or 40 years down the road. Again, young filers, pay attention to these types of things because this could really make a difference for you even in the near future. And if you think about it like that, it's not so scary about putting that money away, you know, in a place where you can't touch it. Now, you know, a little bit more restriction if you're staying at the employer and as to what you can access or not, but a lot of flexibility around some of that, more than you would think. I'm going to talk more about that a little bit, and then when we come back from this next break, and then look at what kind of opportunities we have for older taxpayers and for families and things like that, as far as these year-end planning opportunities. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us or off air, whatever you're more comfortable doing. Questions can also be sent through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. Tonight, we are talking about year-end financial review and opportunities. Starting with, we've talked a little bit about estate documents. We're talking a little bit about taxes now for young filers. Here's the year-end opportunity. If you look at your tax bracket and you realize you're in a 10% tax bracket, maybe you're just new, you only just started the job, and now you're listening to the radio and you're hearing this, you say, hey, wait a minute, I am going to be in a really low tax bracket this year because, you know, I was in school at the beginning of the year, or I didn't have a job in the beginning of the year, and now I've got one. And maybe you're eligible for an employer plan right away, and you just signed up, you weren't thinking, and you just did pre-tax contributions. But then you later find out that your employer had this Roth feature. Typically, you can go in and make a change on that. So you could change your contributions from pre-tax to Roth. Or if you had set yourself up to be make Roth contributions to your 401k, designated Roth, and that was, you know, 5 years ago, and now you're making a lot more money and you're in a higher tax bracket when you did your review, you could change it before the end of the year to now, instead of doing the designated Roth, do the pre-tax 401k, and it might save you a little bit of taxes. And when it saves you a little bit of taxes, you don't feel the full difference in your paycheck. You get that money working. So you're getting a little bit more of your money working when you're doing it on a pre-tax basis. So year-end tax planning review, check what tax bracket you're in and how you're designating employee contributions to employer plans. You may not have an employer plan, but you find out that you have excess cash flow. My first priority, of course, would be to have an emergency reserve. If you already have an emergency reserve, the next place I like to look is the Roth. You could always do a Roth contribution outside of an employer plan. It's like an individual Roth. You can't put in as much. There is a limit depending on how old you are. So you can do a contribution to a Roth IRA of $6,000. If you're over 50, you can do $7,000. That was the amount in 2019. I don't recall if that went up or not. So Roth, or if you're in a higher tax bracket and don't have an employer plan, you could do a deductible IRA. All right, so you might want to look at that before year end. Now, let's say you like this idea of the Roth, but you don't really have the money now. The wonderful thing about the Roth IRA and a regular traditional IRA is that you have until April 15th of the year following the tax year to fund it. And if you don't know where your income is going to be, if you might make too much income and you be over certain thresholds, if you already participate in an employer plan, the IRS gives us until April 15th to fund it, which is really, really great. For older taxpayers, we're also looking to play tax brackets. The caution here is you might have so many different sources of income on your return that you want to be careful what your tax planning is telling you. I really caution people against from just looking at their income and thinking that's what tax bracket they're in, because not all income is created equal. Income is treated differently depending on what it is. If it's ordinary income, such as wages, interest, pensions, IRA distributions, or tax-favored income like capital gains, long-term capital gains, or qualified dividends, even things like Social Security, which is only included in your income up to 85%, depending on how much other income you have on your return, some people don't even have to report any taxable Social Security. So we want to look at playing tax brackets, but we want to watch out for the inclusion of extra Social Security, or if you put too much income on your return. And how do we put more income on our return if I'm playing tax brackets? It could be doing a conversion. It could be taking extra money out of our IRA. It could be changing those contributions on our 401ks. If we go to a Roth, it's going to put more income on our return. So we want to watch the interplay of that to see how it's really going to impact it. The best way to do it is really run it through tax software. You might even still, if you're an older taxpayer, it doesn't necessarily mean you're retired or not working. You might still be working. You might have some earned income. And maybe you worked for years for an employer and now you're not, and you kind of forgot about thinking about retirement accounts. Well, if you don't have an employer plan anymore, you're working some part-time job that doesn't offer it to their part-time people, you might be able to fund an IRA or a Roth IRA, again, up until April 15th. I know what I was going to say about this Roth for the young people, too. You might not have the money now, I think, but you could start saving for it to have until April 15th. So you could start saving, you know, maybe $500 a month, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. 7 months times $500 is $3,500. You don't have to fully fund it. You can fund it in part too. So that's for anyone who would be eligible for the IRA or the Roth IRA. Now, back to older taxpayers. Once you understand your tax situation, and what I guess I shouldn't say older taxpayers, I mean people maybe who might have retired or, you know, went down to part-time where your income drops, you might have some room to do a Roth conversion, an IRA conversion to a Roth. That puts more income on your tax return, especially if you may have retired but did not start to collect Social Security yet. Especially in this time in 2020, when a lot of people may have, been furloughed for a short period of time, a long period of time, you might have had a significant income drop on your tax return and be in a very low tax bracket. It might be a year to do a conversion, and that conversion can be any amount. You know, typically you don't want to do it for $50, but I mean, if you have a $10,000 IRA, you might be able to look at your tax situation and you might be able to afford to do a conversion of $10,000. When we talk about a conversion, we talk about paying the taxes today. And it's always in the hopes that we're in a lower tax bracket today than we expect that we would be in the future. Or, as I like to point out to many clients, it could be an estate tax planning or an estate planning strategy to convert, pay the income tax on the conversion, and then pass a tax-free asset to your children. So again, when we're talking about using year-end financial planning opportunities around taxes. You want to be careful, run the numbers, make sure you know how it impacts your tax return. Is it going to make more Social Security taxable than otherwise would have been? Or perhaps you were someone whose income was in the 12% bracket and capital gains and qualified dividends are getting taxed at zero. If you put a lot of extra income on your return in a conversion, you might now switch the taxation of that income from zero tax to 15% tax. So it's always best to kind of run it through, some tax software. Tax harvesting is another thing that you could do year end. Look in your portfolio to see if in your non-qualified or non-retirement accounts, there might be some tax losses that you could harvest. Maybe it's a position you still like, would like to hold it. Well, you sell it, you take the loss, you buy it back in 31 days. And that's how you can still take the loss. Depends on what's going on. Okay, folks, we are at the halfway point. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, and we'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Good evening, WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm Shawnee Gray. It is 6:30 and 67 with clear skies. Lehigh Valley weather tonight, it's going to be mostly clear, low 51. Thursday, it's going to be sunny, high 70. Thursday night, 40% showers, low 49. Friday, 30% showers, high 63. And Friday night, mostly clear, low 43. Saturday, sunny with a high 64. And Saturday night, mostly clear, low 41. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We are talking about year-end financial review and opportunities. And I just had mentioned about tax loss harvesting. And, you know, on a note, just FYI, I think in 2019, we couldn't even find losses to take. So this could be an opportunity depending on how you might have reacted to the market volatility. Maybe you already sold positions when the market was down earlier in the year and you have some losses that you realized. You might want to see how that impacts your tax return, if that's going to help you. Maybe you're having a hard time making ends meet and you have huge withholdings on your payroll and you realize some losses that might help your tax situation, and maybe you don't need to, have as much withheld. So you can, change that around. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But first, let me kind of go to, thinking about this year-end financial planning kind of review and opportunities. A big thing to pay attention to is whether or not you had any changes this year. So as I mentioned, did you have a job change? Were you furloughed? Were you laid off? What is that going to do to your tax return? It's not just job changes, though. It could also be, and losing your job. So people were getting unemployment. And typically, the withholding on unemployment for federal purposes is 10%. But if your spouse is working, if you're married, you may not be married, but if your spouse is married and they're still working, you could still be in a higher tax bracket, then that 10% might not cover it. That's why you want to run these numbers to look for that type of thing. What about a move? Did you move maybe? And if you moved, you might have moved, into a different state. You could have moved into a different locality. And sometimes when we change even our locality in Pennsylvania, the tax rates can be very different across the locals. Easton has a very high local tax rate. Allentown could be very different than if you're in Tredyffrin. Tredyffrin has no local income tax. You want to make sure that you're notifying your employer if you've had a change in your residency status for your local returns. Maybe you changed jobs, but still live in the same state. Maybe you used to work in New Jersey and live in Pennsylvania now, and it's a reciprocal state, and your New Jersey employer should have withheld Pennsylvania wages, but they didn't. They refused to. I've seen this. You've changed jobs, and now you've got these New Jersey withholdings when you should have had PA withholdings. Are you paying for taxes? Are you doing estimated tax payments for Pennsylvania, because Pennsylvania won't give us a tax credit for taxes paid to a reciprocal state. So watch for moves. Have you sold anything this year? We talked about harvesting losses on your investments. Maybe it wasn't investments. Maybe you sold your home or real estate or something like that. If you sold your home, you know there's rules around that. If you're single, you can you don't have to report the gain if it's $250,000 or less and you lived and owned the home 2 out of 5 years. For married filing joint couples, it's the same 2 out of 5 years and a $500,000 exclusion. That's important to know if it's going to apply to you. But that's not a principal residence. What if you sold a vacation property or a piece of land that you held for investment? What if you bought a piece of land for investment? Do you know that if you bought a piece of land and you're paying real estate taxes on it, we might not be getting a benefit from itemizing that deduction anymore, since the tax that we can itemize is capped at $10,000. And if you're working, your state and local taxes and some of your real estate taxes might keep you at that cap. And the standard deduction is so high, you might not benefit from it. Did you know that you can make an election to capitalize the real estate taxes paid for real estate? This might be a good time to think about that, whether or not you want to make the election to capitalize the real estate taxes rather than take a deduction for them annually on your tax return. What does it mean, capitalize the real estate taxes? It means that you add it to the cost basis. If you paid, you know, $10,000 for a lot and you're not getting any benefit from paying the $1,000 of real estate taxes every year, and you do that for 5 years and then sell it, your cost basis is now $15,000 on that land. If you sell it for $20,000, you only have a $5,000 gain. If you never capitalize those real estate taxes, you would have a $10,000 gain. It's important to know about these little things that we can do. What about gifting? You might want to make some gifts before year end in this last quarter. We quite often will talk to parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, friends, neighbors, who are interested in perhaps funding someone's college education through contributions to a 529 plan. As a Pennsylvania resident, you can take a deduction for that contribution on your Pennsylvania return to the extent of the annual gift, which is $15,000, up to the amount of income that, you know, no more than that, but you have to have at least that much in income. So if you make $15,000, you make $115,000 and you make $15,000 contribution to a 529 for your niece or nephew, you could get a deduction on your Pennsylvania return. You save income tax. The account can grow tax-free and income tax-free if used for qualified education expenses at some time in the future. I have had people ask me after year end when I'm doing their tax return, hey, can I make a contribution to the 529 account now? Like kind of like the IRA rule, and have it count as the prior year. No, you can't do that then. You have to do it in the year of your tax return. So that is something to think about doing before year end. Other changes real quick, and then I'll kind of go back to talking about some more tax planning opportunities. Did you get married? Did you get divorced? Did you have a child born? Was there an adoption? That type of thing. So you want to think if those applied to you, because those could have consequences on your tax return. There is an adoption credit that could be available to you, and depending on what kind of expenses or what kind of adoption it was, it may be more or less. These are a little bit off the beaten path, but things that you may not even realize might apply to you. So again, talking about now taking some of these changes, how might some of these apply to young families? Well, you might have a child now for the first time, as I mentioned. Are you in a position to benefit from child tax credits or child dependent care expenses? The child tax credit applies as long as your income is below certain thresholds, and the tax credit is now like $2,000, and the income threshold is like $400,000 something. So chances are you're going to qualify for a child tax credit if you're below those thresholds and have a child. Child dependent care expenses is a different credit that would apply if you're paying for child care, and it's capped up to two children, I believe, and no more than $6,000. I think it's $3,000 per child. But it also has to coordinate with if you used anything like a flexible spending account for child care dependent care benefits at work. If you used a flexible spending account at work, then there is a coordination of that benefit. Now, you can, if your employer provides a flexible spending account for child care, it's up to, I believe, $5,000. And as I said, the credit might be only available up to six if you have two credits or two children. So you could get a little bit of an extra benefit there. But if you never did the flexible spending or you don't have that available to you through work, the child dependent care credit can really be a nice little tax credit for you. So make sure you consider that in your planning. If you have open enrollment soon, this is typically the time of year that open enrollment comes, October, November, and that's where you can review what employer benefits are provided and whether or not they provide a flexible flexible spending account. And it could be for health benefits or it could be for dependent care benefits. What about, are you thinking about maybe buying a home? If you're thinking about buying a home, and we're talking about year-end planning here, you might want to think about waiting. I'm not sure, but if there is a change in administration, Vice President Biden's plan has on his agenda a credit, a new home buyer credit. We've seen these before in the past, and he wants to offer a $15,000 new home buyer credit. Not sure if he would actually get that through, but if he were to get that through or some iteration of that through, that might be a reason you might want to hold off into next year to see if that would come available. We're so close to year end. Whether you buy a house December 20th or January, 15th, I would think that they might make that retroactive to the January 1st. You don't know if it even becomes available. Not sure if it will. It's hard to plan for unknowns, but that's what we're talking about when we're looking at year-end planning. What do you want to watch out for that will apply to you, or what might make a better decision if you can kind of hold off into next year? When we're looking at older couples, married couples, as you move closer to retirement, what's the cash flow situation? Not just married couples, individuals as well would have the same issues with cash flow. Do you know how you're going to fund your cash flow? We talked about this last week. If you missed the show, especially for those who are in retirement, who have limited resources, we talked about that last week. You might want to look to see before year-end planning, should you do anything to help that cash flow in the future? Maybe delay your retirement a little bit, or look to see what kind of part-time employment you would have, or apply for a line of credit that you might not have now because maybe you don't have any need for it. But while you're working is typically when you still want to apply for a line of credit, just to kind of have that there. Then if you retire next year, you already have the line of credit established. And if you need it for like a chunk of money for some improvement, you have that there. So think through those kinds of year-end planning opportunities as well if you think you're going to have a change going into the next year. For people over 70 and a half, I have some tips for you. For just all of us, I have some more tips I want to give you. The hour has gone very, very fast. We have about 15 minutes left, so I'll see what else I can get through here in the next 15 minutes. I'll do my best, but remember, October is financial planning month, so we are going to cover a lot of these topics over the next several weeks, more focused each week on an area that we're highlighting tonight. So if you miss anything tonight, you certainly can tune in through the rest of the month and send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. Of course, we appreciate those when we get them. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000. Thank you to all of WDIY's generous, sustaining members. Setting up an automatic monthly gift on your credit card is the easiest way to support your listening and ensure WDIY remains a strong and thriving public resource. Become a sustaining member of WDIY today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, there's still time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And questions can be sent through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. And if you, and, you know, I keep that private and I don't, you know, harass you afterwards or anything. I mean, people who have done it could tell you, but it's all private, so they can't tell you. I love questions. It really helps me know what you're interested in hearing about. And sometimes I'll hear about situations that I've maybe not encountered before. So that's always fun, too. So those questions could be sent through yourfinancialchoices.com. And I especially would like to encourage people, if they've had any special circumstances that required particular financial planning, or you might have questions about a special circumstance you have, I'm going to cover that on the October 28th show, which is part of our series for Financial Planning Month in October. Would appreciate any special circumstances you might have that we could kind of highlight. And of course, I will keep that confidential. Real quick, let me hit a few quick year-end planning ideas or opportunities. Number one, remember that even if you don't itemize in 2020, you still will be able to deduct $300 to charity off the top. You have to make sure you have a receipt and you've actually given to charity, but we will, and it's for cash donations, not for goodwill donations. If you've made a contribution to a charity, keep your receipt. You can take a deduction of $300. Not a huge deduction, of course, but it's something. If you're already 70 and a half and have an IRA, you can still make qualified charitable distributions from your IRA, even though they waived the requirement for required minimum distributions in 2020. You can still make a qualified charitable distribution from your IRA if needed. Personally, if your charity can wait, it might make more sense to wait until 2021 when we are back to the regular required minimum distribution. I've talked about that on past shows. If you're still working and your tax projection looks like you'll be short on covering the taxes that you owe, you can update your W-4 to make up the shortfall. You may not have filled out a new W-4 in a long, long time. You might have done it when you first started working. If you find that you're owing taxes every year, year in and year out, well, it could be that your W-4 needs to be updated. And the W-4 is much simpler, I think, now than it used to be. And they have some calculators on the IRS's website, irs.gov, that will help you figure out how you should complete your W-4. What I think is really brilliant that they didn't have before is there's a box you can check to say if there's two earners in the home. If you're both earning about the same amount of money, you can check a box. And that way the employer will adjust for that and not give you, let's say, the standard deduction for married filing joint. If there's two of you, they kind of break that in half to help equalize the tax withholding a little bit. If you're not working and you have a pension or Social Security or IRA distributions that you take, you can update a W-4 for that as well. The W-4 for pension is a W-4P. For Social Security, it's a W-4V. So you can ask for extra withholdings on the pension, because pensions, it seems like they never withhold enough because the pensions aren't always, you know, very big. It's not like wages. And they hold meager withholdings typically on a pension. You can ask them to withhold an extra amount from each of your payments. And the W-4V for Social Security, it's, you know, you only can check so many boxes. That I think they have like four rates, 7%, maybe 10, 22, 10, maybe 12. So there's just a few percentages that you can pick on that. If you have an IRA and you don't want to make estimated tax payments, and typically I wouldn't do it necessarily this year because there's no required minimum distribution this year, but if you're someone who's subject to required minimum distribution and you hate doing quarterly estimated tax payments, you can always have a huge chunk taken out of your IRA. I do this. The IRS deems your withholding to be made evenly throughout the year. So you could take a distribution in December to cover all of your taxes from your IRA if, you know, it's part of your required minimum distribution anyway. So if you owe $10,000 in income taxes on your IRA distributions and your investment income and your Social Security, and your required minimum distribution is $10,000, just tell your custodian to withhold 100% to your federal tax. That's one way to do it. And you can adjust it, you know, depending on what your situation is. Again, don't forget in any tax projection that you're doing, especially if you're doing it yourself, to use accurate numbers. I can't tell you how many times I've asked for numbers from clients and they give me net numbers, net after their tax withholdings or net after their Medicare or net after deductions. So when you're doing tax projections, we have to use the gross amounts, not the net amount. So please be careful about that. Also careful on aggressive positions on your tax returns. I have had jokingly clients tell me that they want a particular tax team to review their tax return to you know, whittle their taxes down. But some of us don't take as aggressive positions as others, so be careful about aggressive positions on your tax returns. The normal look-back period for the IRS to look at your tax returns is 3 years. They can go back 6 years, I think, if they think you're being negligent, and forever if you're being fraudulent, if you're taking, you know, ludicrous positions and that kind of thing. So keep track of items such as your cost basis on assets that you're selling, and if you have qualified expenses, you know, for business use, things like that, make sure you're keeping track of those, keeping the receipts, and keep those records with your tax return. For people who do their tax returns on their computer, make sure that you print out a copy of that, and not just to print out a copy of it to PDF, which is on that same computer, that when that computer crashes, not only do you not have the PDF copy, you also don't have the tax software to go retrieve it. Be careful with that. Either, you know, print it and put it in a special file, or put it on a copy on a zip drive, something where you have the records of the tax return and the backup and the receipts to support the positions that you took on the tax return. I did want to also touch on year-end financial planning opportunities around retirement, but I will cover that in more detail on the October 14th episode that I'm going to talk about for Financial Planning Month and that series with retirement planning and longevity planning as part of your retirement plan. So I will talk about that in more detail on October 14th, but I also want to make sure that you're reviewing your retirement contributions and distributions for opportunities in tax planning before year end, and that can give you some options for cash flow and estate planning as well. If you are someone who needs money and your tax brackets allow it and you're eligible to take a normal distribution from a retirement account, maybe instead of doing a conversion to an IRA, maybe you're taking it out for cash flow purposes. That could work as well for you. Now would be the time to look at that. If this might be a year where you didn't, you know, work as much, you didn't have the bonuses because you guys didn't make numbers, might be an opportunity to look to see if you need a distribution from a retirement account. Or if you're shy on making contributions, maybe you thought you were maxing out or you set it up, you know, several years ago and you have your 401k contributions set to be $15,000 and now you can do $19,000. You could always adjust and use HR if you have to. You could adjust through your employer plan to increase your contributions to the 401k through year end, if that makes sense for you, for your cash flow, for your savings, for your retirement planning. You check off so many boxes when you look at these items and review them, and when you're doing it proactively as well. While working, if you have an employer plan, review each year the amount you can legally contribute, how much can you financially contribute, and if you're making that work for you. Remember, you're working hard and you want your savings to work hard for you as well. And this starts with getting the employer match if you're eligible for it or if it is available, and if you can afford it in your cash flow. And you'll benefit from significant savings. Consider maxing your contributions and taking advantage of any catch-up contributions. That means once you reach age 50, you can do a catch-up contribution of, I think, $6,000. So this would be a good time to review that. And I have seen that quite often. People are in denial about getting older, and they have set up their 401k contributions to max when they're under age 50, and they forget that once they turn age 50, they can do that the catch-up contribution. And depending on the employer, you may have to proactively elect for that extra amount. It could be a separate election. You want to review that. And when we're coming up on open enrollment, that certainly is a good time to look at that. With 3 months left in the year, you certainly have plenty of time to increase those contributions again if it works with your cash flow. You want to think that through, folks. I want to make sure that this is educational. You have to make sure it applies to your situation, consult with your own advisor, and all of that. I would hate for someone to think, Lori said I needed to increase it, and then you have no money to pay your bills. So make sure it's working. All these parts of your financial life, that they're working together, your cash flow, your taxes, your investments, your retirement accounts, your risk management, and your estate planning. We want to make sure it all works together. So if you are someone who increases those contributions in the last quarter of the year, and so you told your employer, increase my contributions, to 20%, mark your calendar for January 1st to put it back to what it, the normal contribution would be. Because if you set it for 20% and then in January you don't change it and they take 20% of your payout in January, you might overfund your 401k very early, or not overfund it, but max it early in the year and then miss out on future employer contributions. It's really a good idea to kind of have it, smooth throughout the year over 12 months. So watch when you're manipulating those contributions. You got to be smart about it. Just mark your calendar. It's like when I set my phone to check the laundry so I know when the wash is done and can put it in the dryer. It helps make it very efficient. All right. bigger issue. If you're thinking about retiring, just be careful before year end. Health insurance, vacation and sick leave, flexible spending accounts. Maybe it makes sense for you to, you know, retire January 5th or something like that. It'll give you an extra month of health insurance, and sometimes you earn that extra vacation and sick leave after the first of the year. Some employers accrue it as you work. Other employers, you know, allot it to you on January 1st. So watch for those kind of things, and definitely make sure you use those flexible spending accounts before you leave your job. All right, folks, it went very fast. We didn't have any calls tonight, but I certainly hope you have questions and that you send them through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. I appreciate questions. It really helps us with the show and helps us share valuable information. And especially if you have special circumstances around any financial planning, that's going to help us fill that topic for the end of the month in our financial planning shows for financial planning month of October, and that'll be October 28th. If you have special circumstances, please share those with us. I will discuss next week what is financial planning and what is a financial advisor. I want to thank Lori for being here. Thank you, Shandi. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.